This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Our sound system's acting weird on my computer. Very strange.
Very usual.
Right? It's always something. If it's not one thing, it's another. It is, however, Docking Bay 94. Happy New Year. This is our last show before the new year. That's why we look so festive in our little picture and stuff. Oh, except we're not festive in our picture. Our picture's not streaming.
What? That would be why I can't get it to load.
Yeah, I'm restarting it.
Oh, man.
There we go. Maybe it works now. Supposedly...
There it goes.
Supposedly, sweet. They upped our speed, our internet speed here. And I've been having all sorts of wacky problems since they've done that. So if you're listening to us, you're doing so on sci-fi.radio. If you're watching us, you're doing it on Facebook or YouTube or Twitch or some such thing. Regardless of those things, Happy New Year. This is our last show before the new year. I'm Sean Obi-Sean Crosby.
This is Justin Donahue.
I'm Colleen Kaylee Crosby.
And welcome, eh? We're glad to be
do
here.
Do we actually have picture, or is it just me that doesn't have picture?
We have picture.
We
had our little intro
thing. Yeah. There we go. Got my cool hat that no one can see.
Yeah, we are now
hat. San Diego.
You didn't change your hat very well, Colleen.
No, I didn't. But
she ran away to change her hat, and then she came back in the same hat.
Right, but I brought other hats.
Oh, I see. She can.
Oh, but I'm trapped.
Go mid hat. And we're wearing slightly nicer shirts than normal.
Oh, I'm not.
Slightly.
You know, if you rotated...
I'm just wearing a shirt.
If you rotated your hat, Jeff, 45 degrees to the right, you'd have a very Paddington vibe.
Oh. Probably. You can't really see the feather.
Hey, there you go.
This one?
I can if you tilt.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow, I haven't seen that hat in a long time.
This is my Anne of Green Gables hat.
Right. Inspired by one we saw at Disneyland.
No, not at all.
Really? Because I remember going to Disneyland, you seeing one in the store, going, I can totally do better than that, and then going and making one.
Nope. I saw a hat that had this fold in the back of it on Anne of Green Gables.
Yeah.
And I went to the hat shop at Disney and said, can you make me that hat?
Oh.
Because I didn't know how to make hats. Oh. And this is the hat that they made me.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. It's not like the Anne of Green Gables hat in anything except that little fold. But I'd call it my Anne of Green Gables hat.
Well, cool. I guess I had it backwards.
Yes.
Oh. Interesting. I thought you looked at it and went, I can do better than that.
No. Although, my hair looks fascinating.
This is my makeshift... Captain Hook hat I had for Halloween.
Ah.
Nice. You have kind of a Ren Faire vibe going on.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Kelly asks, Disney makes hats?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, once upon a time.
Disney used to make
hats.
They
used to have this great hat shop that was right next to the great Pendleton shop in Frontierland. And so you could buy your Pendleton clothing and blankets in Frontierland, and right next door you could have your custom hat.
Nice. Yeah, they had a lot of really cool hats at one point in Disneyland, and now it's mainly either mouse ears or something, you know, like...
Right.
This was probably early 90s.
Yeah, back when I worked there, pretty much. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is my sort of Mad Hatter hat. Just recently we did that Alice in Wonderland thing, so I do have the little tag in the side still.
Dallas says that you're villainous, Sean.
I look villainous. I've got a very Professor Fate kind of vibe happening here. Like, twirl my mustaches. Push the button, Max.
Seriously.
I think it's my eyebrows. I've got like crazy eyebrows.
That'd be it.
Kind of nuts. but yeah, it's,
So I didn't catch this, but when we were talking about fancy shirts,
yes,
Kelly said, "Colleen, glad you're wearing a shirt."
Well, you know, it's customary.
It's no longer our youth,
right?
So
don't all run around shirtless.
I see Rose. I see Dawn. I see David. I see Chris. Laura, that's on Twitch. Facebook, Pat, Helen, Kelly, Lori. Yeah, there you go.
YouTube has Dawn as well. Look at the Happy New Year hats
Hi, everybody.
Oh, I should have. Jeff told me to wear a tiara, and I forgot.
I did?
Sean told me to wear a tiara, and I forgot. I told you to wear a tiara.
That's okay. I just said wacky hats or something.
I did give you a tiara in our little intro thing. Your Kaylee has a tiara on.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said
there you go, see?
Right,
I'm going
exactly.
to go get a tiara.
And mine has a shiny comb.
Kit has a festive crown. Jeff has a traditional party hat. And I've got one of those weirdo, fakey cardboard fedora things that that happen, which I think is pretty funny.
Yeah, I'm wearing my Lupin pajamas because we had pajamas. I think Christina did it, had pajamas made. And they had like some like one of the pets on them is like a little head, and it's Lupin with a New Year's Eve hat.
I don't think this shirt is a costume shirt. I think I bought it just because I liked the sort of mattress ticking kind of look. I was looking for other shirts like it.
Almost has like a Haunted Mansion vibe to it.
A little bit. Yeah, if it were purple, it'd be perfect for Haunted Mansion. Yeah. But yeah, it's got that kind of vibe. My biggest problem is trying to keep my headphones on my head. Because I don't like, you can't wear a hat and headphones.
Yeah. I can try to do this. We'll see.
And these headphones are not adjustable.
I don't know if anyone can see it.
I see something. It's fuzzy. What is it?
So on those it's Lupin. It's a little picture of
Lupin your dog.
Yeah, yes.
Not Lupin the character.
Yeah, Lupin your dog.
That's what's been messing me up.
Yeah, just his noggin though, just his head with a hat.
Got it. Okay. Because I'm picturing the Harry Potter character.
That's what he's named after, pretty much.
Really messing me up.
Yeah.
So what did we do in the last week? We had Christmas.
Kelly says I look like Snidely Whiplash.
Great.
Well, yeah, I mean Christmas. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's it.
Was the big deal. We had a super low-key one.
I'm trying to remember if we did anything at all.
We did not go to a movie, as is our usual tradition. So that was kind of a drag because we just weren't excited by anything.
Yeah. But I can't even think we went to the mall.
Right.
Actually, we've been to two malls.
We have.
What mall did we go to?
We went to Del Amo and we went to our regular one.
We went out to Din Tai Fung.
Right.
Which was yummy, but quite expensive.
For what it is, yeah, it was really expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. We went to Marietta, or Marietta adjacent, which it's like the very tall hills that are on the one side of the freeway that's, separate the Inland Empire from Orange County.
Okay.
And that's where Aubrey's mother lives. And so, yeah, we went there on Christmas Eve.
Nice.
People are now assigning us characters. You are now Puss in Boots, Jeff. According to
that's kind of fitting.
Colleen's mom.
Oh yeah. Chris Marble wants to know if the hats were a pre-planned accessory. Was a little bit.
We decided to wear hats, and then we grabbed what was handy.
Yeah,
we're like, oh yeah, hats. Jeff suggested hats a few hours ago.
Right.
Yeah.
And then.
And then we didn't do anything about it in advance. We just kind of went, oh crap, hats. Which is why my headphones are like all very wonky.
Yeah, I ran off and grabbed it.
Right. So.
Oh, I know what we did on Christmas.
Excellent. Don has his Dapper Day hat with a feather in it.
Cool.
Nice. On Christmas Day, we drove out to Burbank Airport pick up my sister-in-law,
okay,
who flew out because her father's sick.
Right. That was
so we took her
4-hour round trip.
Thousand Oaks and then drove home.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she came into the airport, but not the airport we live next to. We're 5 minutes from LAX, but we had to go to Burbank to pick her up, and that was an hour.
I mean, to be fair, she was going to take an Uber, but I wanted to make sure that I got a chance to see her just in case we didn't get to see her in another part. I do have I don't know about a bigger set of pearls, bigger than one. Chris says I should wear a bigger set of pearls to better complement the outfit, but I don't know what to
compare. I guess so. Are you wearing any pearls?
I am not.
So
I'm not wearing a necklace.
So kind of any pearls, you know. Yeah.
But I do have some.
Say what?
So there's that.
You're Spaghetti Western in Yucca Valley. What?
That's pretty funny. Lara's asking if she should put on her cowboy hat. We encourage anyone to wear hats who has
everyone at home watching, put on a silly hat.
Yes. Right.
Or not.
And if you don't have a silly hat, put a napkin on your head.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
And,
I don't have a reason.
And looking at for hats, Colleen found my hat that I've been missing for like 6 months, my Star Wars hat.
Very excited. Yeah, the one you had the other day.
Yeah.
Chris, this is the wire. It's not a necklace. It's the wire attached to my
her headphones.
My headphones.
Yeah. I've got one too.
So.
I don't have any plug-in headphones anymore that aren't these big giant can things.
Right. Oh, okay. I just had to do the earbuds because it was junk. It was not going to work.
Yeah, I've given my phone doesn't take earbuds anymore, and I've given all mine to Colleen as she breaks hers. And so I'm out. I'm done.
Uh-oh. Time to go back to the mall.
Which is tedious. except the store that we buy headphones from was only taking cash.
Yeah, it was weird. Geez.
Or they were not taking cash.
No, it was cash only.
It was cash only. Yeah, it's a little Japanese store.
There was someplace else that was nothing. We walked by the Humble Potato today, and they are no longer taking cash.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Well, because Humble Potato tries to be like super state-of-the-art.
They're actually... they're doing that at Knott's, actually. Knott's is going all electronic as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it sort of makes sense, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, especially when this whole COVID school going around, you could be handing over money with, you know, whatever on it. So who knows?
Yeah.
So definitely safer.
I don't think that... I don't carry cash unless Colleen gives me cash to carry. She's like, in case you need cash... Here's money. And then I keep it for 6 months before I end up using it. So.
Chris says that your hat was so large that he thought it was a virtual hat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it kind of looks like one of those virtual hats that the software puts on, like in Zoom. It has that kind of thing. It is a real hat.
My mom says she has a knitted hat that makes her look like Mom's Mabley.
Perfect.
Yeah, from Maisel, Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, okay.
It was the Jane Lynch character.
I see.
Right. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. So, what else? Do we do anything else?
No.
I baked a lot.
Really?
Well, sort of. I prepared baked items. I currently have in my freezer and ready to go in the oven, molasses cookies, ricotta cookies, spicy cocoa cookies with marshmallow. And I think two more. What are the ones I just made today?
Pfeffernuss.
Maybe that's it.
The marshmallow ones were pretty good.
Yeah.
Definitely different. They're like thumbprint cookies, but with a marshmallow in the center.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
And then gotcha. Today, let's say I made apple cider caramels. And, yesterday I made ice cream bowls, like waffle bowls.
Right. She was trying to replicate the Disney waffle bowl ice cream that we usually get.
Oh, okay.
From Disney.
In a smaller form. She wasn't, like, doing one that would fit on your head, the Disney ones. They were about a third that size.
It's tiny. It would fit in one of our things. Okay, I'm going to paste the cookie recipe in here.
In the chat?
Well, I wasn't going to do it in the chat. I was going to do it. I suppose I could do it in the chat.
Or on the page?
Yeah. Here, I'll do it in the chat.
Oh, these hurt.
There we go.
Man, the earbuds hurt. Okay.
Okay. Your mom clarifies. She says that Moms Mabley was a black comedian in the early part of the last century. She passed away in 1975, but she was active up through like the late 60s. Interesting. Well, what was the name of the character that I'm thinking of from Mrs. Maisel?
I don't know.
I mean, it could be.
She's kind of a takeoff on that kind of a character. And let's see. I'll look her up by IMDb.
I'm pretty far behind on that show.
You know, we haven't watched the latest season of it because we just haven't been in the mood for it, which is really weird. Sophie Lennon is her real name, but I don't remember what her character name is.
Okay. Well, Jeff, did you do anything else over the last week?
This whole has been going on, not a whole lot, really. I mean, I was mostly at home and just being a total lazy bum. And I went to a couple stores. That's really about it. And then
we
cleaned up all the Christmas stuff today. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's early.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to Star Wars then.
We could do.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, we celebrated.
We're gonna be the big quiz or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
I did a quiz.
We celebrated more of our Christmas like after Christmas. We watched like the Santa Claus, then we watched the Santa Clauses, then we watched the Santa Claus 2 because there were too many
said
holes.
Not to watch because the Santa Claus 2 and 3 were so bad. Don't watch 2 and 3 and it'll be fine. Yeah. No.
But we kind of had to.
If you want to watch the Santa Clauses, the series, watch Santa Claus 1 and Santa Claus 2. Because otherwise you'll be sitting there going, wait, what happened?
Yeah, I know.
Shaking fist at whoever told me not to watch Santa Claus 2.
Yeah, I mean, I've been catching up on everything. Like, what's that, the Jack Ryan TV show?
John Krasinski.
Yeah, blah, blah. I caught up on that. So, all three seasons.
We saw John Krasinski, but he was in The Holiday. He was very young.
Yeah,
he had a very quick role.
Right.
Yeah. So I got through that. You know, I was like trying to get through all those, but
we meant to watch the Glass Onion. But
we keep forgetting, and then it's too late. We're like, oh, it's too late at night. Yeah. We can't start it now. We'll fall asleep.
Yeah. I mean, I've been keeping up with Willow. So that's that's been an interesting show.
I just see people getting really mad at it.
Yeah, I know.
Online.
I know. Because they can't handle what they're doing. So
right. So, I mean,
it's very unique.
I'm pretty flexible. We keep needing to watch the movie again and then watch the show.
Oh, okay.
And that stops us a lot where we're like, let's go back, let's rewatch the original source material, and then let's go watch the new thing. And then we forget to go watch the original.
Well, because the original, I know that the writer's saying, oh, I'm basing a lot of this show on Val Kilmer's performance in the original. And I guess that's probably the best way to look at it. Because if you,
that's a cop out though. That's a cop out because everything else in that show was high fantasy.
Yeah.
Regardless of the fact that, Val Kilmer was a little more aloof and modern. That's like saying I'm basing my entire Lady Hawk series on the fact that Matthew Broderick kept breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah. So the trouble that I was having, the trouble people having is that they want it to be the Willow show to be just like the movie. And fantasy wise, yeah, it's like the movie, but it's a completely different feel than the movie.
It's much more modernized.
Yeah, it's more comedic.
I've seen from it is it's a lot more modernized. Like the costumes, some of the costumes are really kind of a cop out.
Yeah.
They're not high fantasy at all. They're like off the rack at JCPenney, and that's kind of bumming me out. Because at least the first movie, I mean, they tried really hard with costumes and stuff. So we'll watch it, and then we'll decide. I'm trying not to like let other people's opinions color what I think about it.
Yeah.
So
but it's definitely a TV show. You know, it's definitely like if you're watching it, you're going, gosh, I'm in a movie. I'm watching a movie. And you're like, no, you're going, no, this is like I'm watching a TV show,
Yeah, but a TV show is okay. I mean, I didn't sit there watching Book of Boba Fett going, it's only a TV show.
No.
Even though, they had some cheesy stuff going on.
Oh, yeah.
I don't sit there and go, well, it's only a TV show, so I'm not going to expect that much out of it.
It kind of reminds me of the Hercules show and stuff in Xena. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's not quite as slapsticky, but it does remind me of those.
Which is fine. There were a whole bunch of shows like that, and some of them were better than others. Like Cleopatra 2025 was really, really bad. Hercules. Xena actually sort of rose above its material eventually.
Yeah.
It started cheesy and then got really serious.
Yeah.
You can do that kind of thing. And I can see where Willow would be sort of that, but I don't know. We have to watch it. We just haven't.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
We shall see.
We've been watching old, episodes of Community. Cause we never saw that.
We never saw it. Yeah. I'm enjoying it a lot more than I thought I would. A lot of the characters I really like. We're in the middle of season two, I guess. And it's turned out to be a really fun kind of show.
Yeah.
So, not too shitty. All right,
Star Wars.
Oops, here we go. I'm not sure, is Kit with us right now, or is she still late?
She said she was going to be late.
Okay.
And
I'll do what I can, then.
Good luck.
Just leave it till later.
Yeah, don't even worry about it. I mean, this is the end of the year show. We've all kind of checked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. Man, I should be drinking a beer. December 28th, 1922, we have one birthday in history, and that is Stan Lee from Marvel Comics and everything else entailed.
Stan Lee.
Yeah. And why would that be? Because, Star Wars comic from Marvel. So, but yeah, we all know about Stan.
Tried to lower that. It got louder.
Huh? Okay. December 27th, 1994. That's when the Art of Star Wars, the first major exhibit of props and wardrobe, opened in the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts in San Francisco.
That would have been amazing to go to. It would have even been more amazing to go to with a good camera, but nobody seems to have really taken a good camera to that. Because I've seen pictures surface from it. They had an entire wall of costumes. And so they were stacked three high and like 12 across or something. And so like some of the costumes we really wanted to get a good look at, like the A-Wing pilot costume and things like that, you couldn't get near. And digital camera technology sucked.
Yeah, it died, geez. You had to go with, the original.
Yeah, it was not good. Yeah, but I haven't seen anybody's film pictures surface that were good. Even people we know who went, like, Dale and Dave. They didn't, they didn't get good pictures. It's a real bummer. So.
Gotcha. December 23rd, 2003 is when StarWars.com launched the 18-part documentary of Making of Star Wars Episode 3.
Cool. Was that the one that Pablo Hidalgo was involved in?
You know, probably. I don't know. I'd have to search for that sucker online and find it, but yeah.
I don't remember, but he kind of got his start doing these I guess this was in 2000 he started working for the website. And then I think he was doing a bunch of like behind the scenes stuff for episode 3, and they gave him a part.
Okay.
In the movie he had a little walk on part, much like George did.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, he just continued to work for Lucasfilm.
Yeah, still there.
Nice.
Lastly, on our list of history for Star Wars, December 24th, 2003 is when Star Wars Empire number 15, Darklighter Part 4 was published. So, all about Biggs.
I'm guessing about Biggs.
Yeah. Yes, still all about Biggs.
All about that Biggs. About that Biggs. No.
No wedge?
Yeah,
wedge. No Porkins.
No Porkins. Yeah, that
because that fits better.
Yeah. There's a rumor that Mary Elizabeth Winstead has been cast as Hera in the Ahsoka series.
Yeah.
Where do we know Mary Elizabeth Winstead from?
Well, let's see. If you saw Die Hard number 4, she plays the daughter of Bruce Willis's character, John McClane, Lisa McClane.
I sure remember that.
Okay.
she was Ramona Flowers in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yeah.
Which you would probably remember her from best. She did Cloverfield Lane, which you didn't see. But she's been turning up in stuff like the TV series Fargo. And
yeah.
Scott Pilgrim, at least, is more...
something you might know.
Nerdy?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's when you get into part four of a series, it's harder to remember people.
I think she did a movie for Netflix that was, I think it was called, like, Kate or something. And it was, she's like a contract killer or something that, you know, the typical story goes, becomes a good person and to save somebody.
She was in, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yeah, there you go.
And there's one more thing that she's, what did she do?
But the truth about this is that yes, she has been cast in the series, but the rumor is that she's playing Hera, so we don't. It's not. Don't know for sure, but that's what people are saying.
Right. Well, and there's no. It's mentioned in IMDb, but we don't even know what she's doing. So
yeah,
I mean,
no
she could
idea.
Be could be Hera.
Yeah.
Or she could not be. It depends. She's a little young for Hera, isn't she?
Probably. I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
She was born in 1984.
Oh, okay.
So, maybe not, I guess.
Yeah, so, 36 years old, 37, right?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see.
Moving on to theme parks, Genie Plus sold out for the first time 3 days in a row, starting the 27th. It sold out the 27th, 28th, and 29th at Disneyland, and it's up to $30 per day.
I didn't know Genie Plus could sell out.
Apparently, they just changed it to make it that it could sell out.
Hmm. I have been listening to the local news where they've been saying that apparently people with walk-up tickets can still get in, and anybody with an annual pass cannot get in because of blockout dates. And like, so like, I'm not supposed to have any blockout dates, and I feel like they actually blocked me out anyway.
Could be.
I think they just decided, no Christmas for anybody with a pass.
Yeah.
And, of course, their new disclaimer thing that you sign says, oh, I will not pursue any legal action due to blockout dates.
Well, what they could have done
was... they can pretty much do anything they want.
Was, you know, make, like, some small number, some handful of annual passes available for reservations. Like if they had 100 reservations for annual pass holders, that would free up the rest of them for walk-ups.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically the same because it's such a small amount.
Yeah, I mean, I guess technically that fulfills their obligation, but it's still pretty much cop-out.
Because you did have availability way back when. If you didn't care about Life Day and about going every week, then you could have gotten a ticket if you had... sorry, a reservation. Hmm. If you had made your reservation, you did have availability previously.
I'm not seeing a lot of people I know who have made reservations. Tonight, there's some sort of Galaxy's Edge Discord event going on where it's Ahsoka Day, I guess.
Hmm. Interesting.
And so they're trying to do it on both coasts today. We'll see, but there are a lot of people I saw who didn't have, reservations. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 reservations, so I should still have a free one.
You do. But.
Well, I'm just looking at the calendar just to see what comes up.
For instance, the last time I looked at the calendar, you could get a reservation in the first week of January, and now that's gone.
Oh. That's all gone, yeah. Interesting.
Weird.
Very interesting. Alrighty.
Okay. There was a fire at Disneyland last night. It was in New Orleans Square at the train station. It was in the building that is closest to the water tower.
Okay.
So the farthest,
the far right building, if you're standing on the platform.
If you're standing on the platform, it's the building on the far right, the smaller one. And they didn't say what the damages are, and I don't see any photos that show what it looks like today.
Okay.
But there was interesting information that I didn't know, and that's that the train station is based on a set from the 1948 Disney film So Dear to My Heart.
Yeah.
Walt wanted to use the original movie set, but animator Ward Kimball did not want to return it after Walt had given it to him, so a replica was built.
Yeah.
When the park was opened in 1955, it was known as Frontierland Station. And for those of you who don't know, Ward Kimball used to collect trains. And when I say used to collect trains, I don't mean trains,
full scale.
I mean
trains,
actual entire train cars. Right. And there, if you go to the LA County Fairgrounds in Pomona, out in their parking lot, there's a whole display of trains that all belong to Ward Kimball, or belonged to Ward Kimball since he's no longer with us.
They were going to come to our museum that you and I were living at, the Heritage Square Museum. And that got kind of messed up.
Well, Ward Kimball used to be the client of the person who was the president of the museum. And they got into a huge screaming argument with each other.
Yeah, it was not good.
So I don't think that.
So I'm showing you a picture right now. If you're watching us, you can see the water tower on the right, and then the building directly to the left of that is the one that caught fire. They didn't say what was in there.
Oh man, because I think that was mainly like a break area.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, I haven't seen any pictures show up of actual, you know, fire damage or anything like that. So
yeah,
we'll have to see.
That's because Mice Chat has a, you know, this is what it currently looks like, and it's completely covered with scaffolding and fabric and wood.
So
you can't actually see it.
Interesting. Yeah.
They moved quick then.
Well, it happened in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And so, well, it says in the wee hours of the morning on December 29th, the fire was quickly extinguished and the trains are operational with a small section of the train station now behind tarps. So yeah. I imagine if it happened in the middle of the night, they were able to get that, those tarps and scaffolding up before the park.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Okay.
Oh, I was right. It was a breaker. What do you know?
Oh, okay.
Laura says Chris used to work there. He'd study and clean it.
I wonder if my friend Alan, who works with the trains, is a fan of the trains, has posted anything. I'll have to look. Alan Douglas is these days works on the trolleys over at DCA, which is kind of fun. That's funny. He's really excited. He says he has been selected to attend the Mickey and Minnie Runaway Railway sneak peek on January 26th. So that's coming up in a month.
Wow,
that's awesome.
Be a tester.
He's excited. He says he never wins anything. and apparently that came with a Runaway Railway Engineer cap.
Nice.
He loves the trains at Disneyland, man. So yeah. it must really be a huge deal. Yeah, he hasn't posted anything about it. So.
Hmm. Awesome. What he thinks about the one at Knott's? It's like, cause it's full size.
Okay, so there is a new rule on the Walt Disney World website. According to, what is this? DIS25, I think is the name of this site. It says that this new warning can be found on the Disney World Reopening and Updated Experience page under Preparing for Your Next Visit section. And it's titled Courtesy. Be the magic you want to see in the world. You must always remember to treat others with respect, kindness, and compassion. Those who don't live up to this simple wish may be asked to leave Walt Disney World Resort. And then it has a link that says view the Walt Disney World property rules. And if you if you type courtesy and Disney World into a web browser, it brings you to the Walt Disney World Resort property rules.
Yeah.
Which are long. They tell you all of the items that they prohibit and they
I got a note that said they changed, and so I looked them up and I didn't remember that courtesy section, which is why I kind of like brought it up. And it seems to be in a direct response to the fighting that's been going on Disney properties where people keep getting into brawls.
The courtesy thing isn't part of the rules. It's elsewhere, and then when you click on it, it takes you to the rules. Hmm. Oh, wait. Guest courtesy and attire policies. Nope. Not there either.
Hmm. Interesting.
But there are a lot of prohibited activities and items on the Walt Disney World Resort property rules. Sorry to interrupt about the fighting.
Yeah, no worries. It is one of those things where people spend so much money to get into Disneyland that it just blows my mind that they would get themselves kicked out by fighting. But there are some of the rules that that they do have. So there's this, which says, please show common courtesy to fellow guests and our cast members by not using profanity or engaging in unsafe, illegal, disruptive, or offensive behavior, jumping lines or saving places in lines for others, and refrain from running. And I think that's sort
where,
of...
Where is that one?
That is under guest courtesy and attire policies.
I see.
And they also have much more extensive language about clothing. And so clothing with multiple layers is subject to search. Clothing that drags on the ground is prohibited in theme parks and water parks. Proper attire is required. We reserve the right to deny admission or remove any person wearing attire that we consider inappropriate or attire that can detract from the experience of other guests. Visible tattoos that are inappropriate, such as those containing objectionable language or designs, are not permitted. And then they refer you to the costume guidelines, which are reinforced, again, 14 or younger.
Wait, there are a lot of rules here.
Yeah, there are.
And they are things that if you thought about them, they're common sense, but I could see...
they have to spell them out now because people right. will go, well, I didn't see that.
But I mean, there are even things that you know, here's one that says prohibited items include glass containers.
Right.
So,
you know, it says you're not allowed to go backstage. This is one that, I came across when I was looking at, when Life Day was coming up, because I always check on this kind of thing. And this is why I went and talked to Disney before we did Life Day to start with, because they have a thing that says unauthorized events, speeches, or use of any flag, banner, sign, or other material for commercial purposes or as part of a demonstration is prohibited.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make sure that they didn't like sort of shut us down, because they can at any time. They could kill Dapper Day, they could kill Bats Day, they could kill us.
Oh yeah.
You know, so making sure that we're on their good graces is always key for me.
plastic straws are not permitted at Disney's Animal Kingdom water parks or Animal Kingdom Lodge.
We discovered that when we were
the
there.
The disposable yeah. ones?
They didn't even have paper straws. They had no straws at all, and I don't think they had plastic cup lids.
Oh, yeah, Animal Kingdom? Yeah, there are no straws.
Yeah.
Period.
And that was a few years back. They did that.
I don't think they've relaxed that. It's no straws ever, never there.
Hi, Kit.
Hey, Kit.
Okay, yep. Well,
see you around there. Hi, right, Kit.
We've probably discussed that to death. So, let's see what's next on the list.
They list quiet hours, too.
Wow. We should take a look at what the Disneyland rules are and see if we've been in violation of those.
Maybe.
I'm sure.
Goodness.
Yeah, it is Disney funny that it does shunt us over courtesy. To the Walt Disney World Resort stuff.
This is interesting because this article, the first article said Disney World. And this one says Disneyland.
Yeah.
Hmm. And of course, I accessed a page that I'm not allowed to read.
Bum, bum, bah, of course.
Right. The courtesy section. Oh, both Disneyland and Disney World added the courtesy section.
Yeah, I think I read it on Disneyland.
That's probably why it was different than the one I saw.
Hmm.
The Disneyland one appears to be shorter than Disney World, probably because they don't have as many specific parks.
Let's see.
Right. Well, and Disney World tends to be a little more lackadaisical than Disneyland has been. So, I could see them course correcting in the other direction because they're so much more laid back.
if you need the park, the rules for the park, there they are. I just put them in both of the Twitch and the Facebook chat.
For and Disneyland.
Our personal one, too.
Well, it does say that smoking marijuana is not permitted at any time.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that people don't do it.
Right.
Jerks. It's, you know, and it's when they try to find places to do it in the park like they're hiding, yep, as if we can't smell them.
Yeah, totally.
Grrr.
Okay,
no problem.
Let's move on to trailer. That's right. We only have one trailer.
One trailer.
And it is the Doctor Who teaser for the, I guess it's like the New Year's Day.
It's the 60th anniversary holiday specials. Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to see this. It looks so good. They're bringing back Dr. Donna.
Yeah, we got some people, some old faces that are here, and some new faces too, because this is
the transfer.
Nice.
Well, it's not even the transfer, because we're going back to David Tennant.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been the Doctor for a while, but this is where Neil Patrick Harris shows up.
Yeah.
As a villain, and he's super creepy.
Yes.
That's really
cool.
That's
it. That's it for trailer. Sean, do you want to take the rest in peace section?
Yeah, I will. We did Star Wars history. I wanted to do one quick thing of Star Trek history. It was on this date, 55 years ago, that maybe one of Star Trek's most famous episodes aired, which was The Trouble with Tribbles. Which was pretty cool. It gave David Gerrold his start in the writing biz, and it was chosen expressly because it had a sense of humor, and Star Trek hadn't really exhibited much of a sense of humor at that point, so it was kind of cool. It's been fun seeing people post their memories online about how what their reaction to The Trouble with Tribbles was. And, you know, if you need a reason to watch a little Star Trek, go for it.
Alrighty.
All right. We lost a few people this week. Ronan Vibbert, who was in Saving Mr. Banks and Penny Dreadful, passed away. He was P.L. Travers' publisher in Saving Mr. Banks. He was in the Borgias, the Hatfields, and McCoys. He's done all sorts of stuff. They don't say what he passed away from, but just a busy guy. Rome and Waking the Dead, and did all sorts of stuff on stage and things. So, one of those guys that you know. Shadow of the Vampire, Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, The Pianist. The Cradle of Life. So
they said that he had a short illness.
Yeah, they don't really say what it was. Talking about whimsical Star Trek, Maggie Threat passed away at the age of 76. She was one of Mudd's women. If you remember the Star Trek episode Mudd's Women, she was also a singer. And she passed away from an infection, apparently. And she did some sort of Hollywood sex comedies and things like that. One of them, Three in the Attic, got a reference in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood in the some of the TV and radio spots that they were playing, which was really cool. But Mudd's Women was also one of those Star Trek episodes that had a little bit of whimsy about it. And then she had kind of a pretty decent singing career. But Maggie Threat, of course, was not her real name. She was encouraged to change it because her manager thought it sounded more exotic and British. But she was born as Diane Pine. And she was really sweet. If you went to Star Trek conventions, super approachable, really fun. She was on a TV show called Run, Joe, Run, and a whole bunch of stuff like that. Ruggero Deodato, who directed maybe one of the worst horror movies ever. Did you see this, Jeff, Cannibal Holocaust?
Yeah, I have.
Did you ever watch it? It's really awful.
And people are like, oh, my God, look what they did. I'm like, it's a movie. It's real, guys.
Yeah, well, and it's considered to be one of the most gory movies ever. It's kind of done in documentary style.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not good.
No, it's not really. I mean, he's done a lot of other things before that. He even did a Hercules movie way back when, but.
Yeah, people remember you.
Oh, yeah. From. I mean, if you look at a lot of his other stuff, you're like, no, don't. He did The Barbarians. Right. Yeah, that's a winner.
But
so, a lot of good ones.
The thing about Cannibal Holocaust is that it was shocking for the time.
Yes.
It was just like, it blew a lot of people's minds.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, then it was kind of a, I don't even, was it really related to Jungle Holocaust, his other
movie? I don't think so.
Movie?
I think you just think
liked
be, just
the name Holocaust, apparently.
Yeah.
But he is correct. He's credited with movies up through 2019.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you have to be a certain type of horror fan to know his work. But,
And it's, it got banned places and such,
and it's kind of hard to find if you're if you're like a collector. You gotta kind of find it.
I think some people got hurt on the set and stuff. Not,
Well, and the working conditions really sucked.
Yeah,
and that was a huge problem too.
Yeah.
Vivian Westwood passed away. She was a punk fashionista, and she had an unusual take on street style that eventually led her to Paris and Milan and London and New York and all that kind of thing. And she's largely considered to be a pioneer of the punk look. And does it say what she passed away from?
Yep. I don't know.
No, a cause of death was not disclosed. So, anyway, she basically kind of did her own thing, and it really worked for a lot of people. But, you know, her stuff was really out there, which worked for punk. And it's really interesting to look back through her career and see what she's got going on, because she's got a lot of stuff that's just kind of crazy. And you know, you look at like a mainstream designer, and they always put like a couple kind of crazy things into their runway show. No, her stuff was all crazy.
Yeah.
But like crazy cool. So it's kind of really interesting. So,
oh.
She didn't want fashion to be boring, and she succeeded. She totally succeeded. And then just today we heard of the passing of basically the ambassador of football, of soccer. If you were a kid in the 70s, the only name you probably knew, the only player you probably knew, was Pele.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Pele passed away. He's got a series of shops.
Mm-hmm.
And the shops are, like, there's one at Downtown Disney and things that. And it took over the Void, if you remember where the Void was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which was kind of interesting. And so, of course, he was a superstar as far mm-hmm. as soccer goes. And
I saw the movie, man, Victory, back when it came out. So yeah,
right. Well, and he was considered a national treasure as far as Brazil went. And like I said, you probably only knew his name back for, in the day.
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, he for and he played like back in the 50s onward. And to be celebrated in that way was really unusual for soccer because soccer is such a team sport. So, anyway, very sad to hear of his passing. And, I don't know how he has been promoting the game these days, but
he's like an ambassador or something, right?
Well, I mean, basically, you know, anywhere he went, you know, people were glad to have him, and having just, you know, come off the World Cup and stuff, I'm sure. It's a pretty big deal. But anyway, sad to hear of his passing, too. Like I said, if you were of a certain age, he's probably the only player you knew back in the 70s, unless you were really into soccer.
Pretty much, yeah.
Are we gonna do the top of the hour?
Well, we got
pretty close to it.
We got just a couple of minutes, but I suppose we could probably pull that off. If you are watching us, sorry, I'm fighting with my headphones here. If you're watching us, you're doing it on YouTube or Facebook or maybe Twitch. Any of those places, if there's a way to like us or subscribe to it or do whatever, we are grateful for you to doing that. It's good to know that you guys are tuned in. It's kind of a weird week, and we expect, you know, sort of light attendance, as it were. Yeah. If you were listening to us, you could be doing it over on sci-fi.radio. It's sci-fi for your Wi-Fi. That's a URL. Just type it in your browser. You can go to sci-fi.radio, and we have all sorts of news stories and things like that that are up there daily, videos of the day, new music, news about people who have passed and things like that. And then, you know, we're just kind of kicking it here tonight. Very laid back, almost no trailers, very little news. I'm Sean Obi Sean Crosby.
It's just old, I don't know.
I'm Colleen Kaylee Crossy.
And we are glad to have all you all here.
Yeah. Hi, Eric. Eric joined in.
Hey Eric. Woo.
Chris, Laura's husband, says to take a quiz. Mm. And adamantly, because he says it twice.
Do you have a quiz?
We'll see. Yeah, there you go.
I say that we do some New Year's trivia.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
We could.
Here we go.
Oh, you know, this is a butt.
A big butt?
Yeah. Is it working?
Not well.
There it goes. Yeah. Let's take a quiz. If you think you're extraordinary, cut above the best that there is. If your cranial capacity is something scary, let's take a quiz. Let's all take a quiz.
Yeah, so I'm trying to play the quiz music, and Windows just wants me to rename the file.
Rude.
Of course.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. According to the International Dateline, where on Earth is New Year's celebrated first each year?
I don't know. It's somewhere weird.
Kiribati, specifically the Kiritimati Atoll in Kiribati.
Okay.
I have no idea where that is.
I don't either. It's, like I said, it was somewhere weird.
Yeah. What do people in the southern United States eat for good luck on New Year's Eve? I thought it was New Year's Day, but this quiz said New Year's Eve.
In the southern?
Geez.
Yeah,
in
what do people
for good
in the
luck?
South eat?
I mean, is it something they normally eat? So it's a kind of wonder that, but
Yeah, it's something they normally eat, but it's specifically people eat it for good luck on New Year's. Like, a lot of people on my cooking list make this every New Year's Day.
Oh. Chitlins.
I mean...
Talon Thorne has it right. It's black-eyed peas.
Okay. I didn't even have a chance to guess. I guess just wondering.
Who was the first broadcast host of Times Square New Year's Eve celebrations?
The first broadcast host.
I mean, it was Dick Clark forever, but...
Yeah.
Or Dick Clark.
I don't know, like Steve Allen or somebody?
Guy Lombardo.
Guy Lombardo.
Wow, really?
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. When did the New Year's Eve ball first drop in Times Square? What year was the very first New Year's Eve ball drop?
1930, but it was an accident because it just fell off the building.
It was much earlier than 1930.
I don't know. I'm going to go with 18.
4 years after, 3 or 4 years after they started celebrating in Times Square, they decided to drop the ball in 1907.
Wow, I was over by like 11 years.
When were the computer controls introduced to Times Square New Year's Eve ball?
Computer controls.
Yeah, so they used a computer to make it drop instead of a
switch or whatever.
1969.
1995.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't get a chance to guess.
When did LED lights first appear on the Times Square New Year's Eve ball?
Who?
LED lights. When did they switch from incandescent to LEDs on the New Year's Eve ball?
Gosh. I don't know. 2005?
Close. Sean, you want to guess?
I was going to say 2000.
Less close.
Oh.
2007.
Oh, see, I thought they'd really spritz it up for the millennium.
I think everybody was just worried that the computers were all going to fail, so.
It probably is.
What 2 years did the Times Square New Year's Eve ball not drop? They were consecutive years, if that helps.
1944 and 1945.
Close.
What did you say they were? You said something, if that helps.
What 2 years? Oh, they were consecutive. What consecutive two years did the Times Square New Year's Eve ball not drop?
I don't know. 50 and 51.
Sean had the right idea. It was 1942 and 43.
42 and 43. Okay.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I figured it was either World War II or it was the stock market crash.
Oh, jeez.
Those were my two options.
Pearl Harbor was 41, wasn't it? Or was it 42?
Yeah.
It was 42.
It's 42, so...
Oh, no, was it 41?
1941.
Remember
the movie?
Right. Thank you, Jeff. That makes sense.
Back when Hitler attacked Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. I think that makes sense why they wouldn't have had it in 1942, because the whole
Germany
was freaking out.
Forget it, he's rolling.
Who is credited with writing the poem Auld Lang Syne?
Robert Burns.
Yeah.
Very good. In Scottish traditions, who do you kiss at midnight on New Year's Eve?
Your sheep.
Ew.
Wow.
No, okay. Not you. You.
man. Too funny.
You kiss your Bible.
Well, it does say who, but...
Oh, who. Okay.
Who.
Whatever.
You know, I mean, I'm guessing your wife, if it's a guy to a woman thing. But
you kiss everyone in the room.
Oh, wow.
Everyone in the room.
Everyone
that's
the
a party.
Room.
Hey. Yeah.
What ancient Greek god celebration inspired Baby New Year?
Greek god?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I do not know.
It's Greek god celebration.
Dionysus.
Oh, okay.
No, I never, would have gotten that.
January gets its name from what Roman god?
Janus.
Yes, the god of doors and gates. I didn't know Janus was the god of doors and gates, but
yeah, and the Electric Mayhem.
Yeah.
No, that's Janus. Well, for sure.
Which came first, the Rose Bowl game or the Rose Parade?
The Rose Parade.
The game.
Sean is right with the Rose Parade.
Wow,
the first Rose
Damn
Parade
it.
Was in 1890, and the first Rose Bowl game was in 1902. What was the main purpose of the first Rose Parade in 1890?
It was like the Pasadena Garden Association or something, and it was just to show off flowers.
No, it was the Valley Hunt Club.
Oh.
And they held a parade to tell the world about the mild weather in Pasadena.
Yeah, they're regretting that now.
Yeah, right?
Oh,
it's
great job.
Like San Fernando Valley. Bing Crosby sings a song, everybody moves there.
All right, so Talon Thorne says tourism, which is correct.
Yes, yeah. Tourism.
Let's see. Who has served as Grand Marshal of the Rose Parade more than anyone else?
Bob Hope?
Nope. You're not going to guess it, but maybe you'll get the second most.
Is it the guy who's like the head of the Tournament of Roses?
I actually don't know what his position is. His name is Dr. Francis F. Rowland. He hosted it seven times, 1890, 92, 94, 1904, 1905, 1910, and 1916.
Man.
Who hosted it the second most amount of time? Sean's looking it up.
No, I was looking up Roland, just the guy that you
He's probably just like a doctor from Pasadena.
Like, who was like the second most?
Who was the second most? You would have heard of
this person. He founded the tournament.
The Valley Hunt Club?
Oh. With the Hunt Club. Yeah.
Okay.
So, the second most.
Is it a
civic figure or is it a celebrity?
She's a celebrity.
She's a celebrity.
Oh.
Yep.
All right. Well, it's not Zsa Zsa Gabor.
It is not Zsa Zsa Gabor.
I don't know.
Elizabeth Taylor.
Lucille Ball?
Shirley Temple Black.
Oh, wow.
Well, that would make sense.
Yep. The Disney family grand marshaled three times. Shirley Temple Black did it three times.
Okay.
So that's the most well-known person that's done it more than once. The Disney family was the marshal three times, once for Walt, once for Roy, and once for Mickey.
Hmm.
What is the tallest float ever entered in a Tournament of Roses parade?
Tallest float?
Yep.
25 feet.
Sorry. What was the float? Who sponsored it, or what was the float about, not how tall was it?
Oh, I see.
I mean, it was 100 feet high, but...
It's 100 feet high.
It's 100 feet high.
Dear God.
Damn.
I can only imagine that it, and I guess I remember it because it wasn't that long ago, but it must have, you know, collapsed down.
Cal Poly Pomona.
Nope. Disneyland.
Disneyland.
Oh.
In 2004, Disneyland's Twilight Zone Tower of Terror float,
titled
A Sudden Drop in Pitch, was the tallest in Rose Parade history at nearly 100 feet high.
Damn.
So it was half scale of the actual Tower of Terror.
Man, that's high.
That's pretty cool. Well, and the trick is, and the reason that I didn't think it was going to be that high, I also thought it was going to be a lot earlier, because you have to go under overpasses and stuff.
Yeah.
That entire float had to collapse or lay down.
Probably did this.
Yeah, I'm sure. And that's why I thought maybe Cal Poly Pomona did it, because they always do big engineering.
Don asks if it's a balloon, but there are no balloons in the Rose Parade.
Yeah. Right.
Not like Macy's in Detroit and other cities like that. We don't have those big balloons. Probably because of the overpasses.
But I could have seen part of the float being like a hot air balloon kind of a deal, like a traditional balloon being towed along by the thing.
The other problem that other people might not know is the restriction of the Rose Parade, you actually have to have most of your float materials have to be vegetation. Oh, Eric says that there was a balloon. It was Superman.
Hmm. Many years ago.
I wonder how they got it under the overpasses.
Huh.
The Dutch, final question. The Dutch believe eating what on New Year's Day will bring good luck? And it's much better than black-eyed peas.
Chocolate, baby.
Well, it could be chocolate, because the answer is donuts.
Donuts?
Oh, okay, there
I'll
you
eat
go.
Donuts on New Year's
oh,
Day.
Oh, I love the Dutch.
Yeah.
They are my new favorite people.
Eric said it was a one-time thing. The Superman balloon was a one-time thing, and it was long, not tall, so they were able to get it under the bridges. Yeah.
So the 2016 Disneyland float featured two castles and Galaxy's Edge as three connected floats.
I believe I recall that
one. Yeah. I'm looking at pictures of the float. I'm trying to find a good one here, though. I guess this one's pretty good. Let me see if I can fire this up, and I'll show it over on over on our site if I can make it work. It's it contained a you know, part of Paradise Pier and all that kind of stuff. So it was basically a DCA float.
Yeah.
Here we go. Try this. And so that's the float. And it's got, this is it on display at DCA, and it's got, you know, the roller coaster and the Ferris wheel, all that kind of stuff in it. The whole thing must have just rotated down, or I don't know.
Yes, found a video.
Oh, yeah?
I'm putting it in the Twitch chat and the Facebook video chat.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can see
Dawn
the video.
Asks if they still have the Doodah Parade. They do, and it was on Sunday, November 20th this year.
It's like five minutes longer.
I have marched in the Doodah Parade.
I don't think the Doodah Parade's as big of a thing as it used to be, but maybe I'm wrong.
All right, so here's them.
This is 5 minutes long, so it's like
I'm gonna skip
prepping
ahead.
And stuff. So yeah. You may have to like scan through.
Here we go. So here's the float. Looks like it's being judged.
And you can actually see it in the parade.
That's pretty cool. So
I want to see it going under the
overpasses.
Right, exactly. So part of it is that big thing sticking out the top.
Yeah.
Is there somebody up there?
Yeah, there are people hanging out.
There's a bunch of people.
In the
like
elevator thing, yeah.
With crazy hair.
Yeah.
Well, if you got electrocuted, you'd have crazy hair too.
Does that elevator drop?
I can only imagine that it does.
It doesn't look like it drops very far.
No, but it probably drops enough to, you know, probably about 10 feet maybe.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for it to do its thing.
Yeah.
If it does at all, I mean, yeah.
It's just turned
the
corner
right
there.
There it goes.
Right
it's,
oh, I missed it.
It's slow. It like dropped
it
a couple of feet.
I see.
It didn't go any farther than that.
It's it doesn't go under any underpasses for quite a while, so unless they cut away to it, we're not going to get... Oh, you can see where it bends, though.
Yeah, totally.
Hmm.
Although even that looks tall for the underpasses, the overpasses.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, gosh, I don't know.
Pretty cool.
Let's,
it's insane.
That's totally insane.
They don't show it going under the overpass or anything.
Well, sort of ratcheting down.
Interesting. I'll have to do a little more research on that because I would be fascinated to know how they pulled that off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of the big deal is the engineering And I remember the, what do you call it? Cal Poly Pomona floats, which almost always won like engineering awards.
Yeah.
They had to do a pretty special thing to make it work.
Do you know what two years there was no Grand Marshal of the parade? These are non-consecutive years.
Kind of makes sense. I mean, we almost didn't have a Grand Marshal the year George Lucas did it because Steve Irwin died, and he was going to be the Grand Marshal.
You know, I don't know if that's noted. Oh, that's not even noted here. 2007. It just says George Lucas. It doesn't say that. Although, Louis Zamperini was represented by his family because he died before he got to do it. The 2 years that
Louis
there
were Zamperini was the guy who was in the bomber, right? A World War II bomber?
World War II veteran and Olympic distance runner.
Yeah.
He finished eighth in the Berlin Olympics.
So this is the 15th anniversary of the year the 501st marched in the Rose Parade.
Yeah.
I should dig up some of those pictures and post them because it basically right now they had, but 15 years ago, on this day, 15 years ago, they had sequestered us in a hotel at, near Universal Studios.
Yeah.
And they were trucking us to a school to march in stormtrooper armor. They had drill instructors teaching us how to march. We spent 4 days in boot camp, and then George came and checked us out to make certain that we looked okay. He could have turned us down if we looked like we were going to suck, but he decided we were all right, and we got to go do it.
Yeah. So the 2 years that there was no Grand Marshal was 1891, which was the second year of the parade. Mm-hmm. And 2021, when the parade was canceled by COVID-19.
Right.
Oh, boy.
So the Rose Parade is being observed on Monday this year because of...
Because they don't do the Rose Parade on a Sunday.
Right. They don't do it on Sundays. And so it's going to be like a day late. And... It's going to be kind of interesting. Rain is rumored.
Oh, okay.
For it. It almost never rains on the Rose Parade. They've been pretty fortunate to have like very nice weather.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see.
In the video that we went through.
Yeah.
If you look at around 1 minute, 55 seconds, it gives you a sort of a really brief idea of how they got the building to stand up. So I don't know if that's how it goes on, if that's what they do when it's about to go under an overpass or not.
At what time?
They would go back down to that. 1 minute, 55.
1 minute, 55. Okay.
Yeah. You can see them in the thing.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
It tilts, it's going tilting upward to the top, so I don't know if that's what it does.
You know, it would be nice that when I tell
this thing
to
stop, it
stopped.
It wouldn't make any sense, though, but, you know.
Well, no, it would have to drop almost entirely to the ground to get under the overpass, because the overpass is only like 15 feet.
Yeah.
Here, let me get back to... Oh, why is it just on me?
I
hate
know.
When it does that. Stupid. Okay, here's that video that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Here are guys in the elevator, and you can see that they're sitting sideways in the elevator because the whole thing is tipped forward.
Well, I'll see you, Eric.
Bye, Eric.
Bye, Eric. So here we go. So yeah, so it's rising up. It tilts forward so that it can go under the overpass. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Although, since they show the rest of the float here, so I wonder how that would really work. It must, like, have a space between the two for it to do that.
Yeah, you can see that there's a break, actually.
Yeah. So there must be enough room for it to...
Here, let me get rid of us. So if you look right past the Tower of Terror and the palm trees that are there, see the break in the float?
Yeah, yeah.
Those separate enough for it to get underneath, I think.
Okay.
I think they, like, unhinge it.
Yeah. So it just, like, tilts forward and then go under them and go back up. Yeah.
Yeah.
That must be what they did.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Definitely impressive.
Oh, totally.
But, yeah, I do wish that they showed us what they did. But, yeah, you can see that the whole float is broken into two floats.
Yeah.
And so...
So I think it just barely dodges the little roller coaster set and everything.
I think it moves out of the way. And then it pulls down. And then they join it back up. So,
yeah, that would make sense.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'm always impressed. With the.
I think if I went to sit on the parade route again, I would want to sit near one of the bridges to watch that kind of thing.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, just to kind of break it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we both spent a couple of nights out there, doing that.
Hmm.
We
only never again.
I've never been.
It's a young person's game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the person's activity.
They are much more lenient, though, about what they allow now. Like you can bring a barbecue as long as you're 25 feet away from a building.
Yeah.
And stuff. Stuff that, like, they never used to allow that I recall. Interesting stuff.
Yeah. Wow.
Right. Oh. All right, so let's move right along to speed round.
To not much of anything?
We have all of four items.
Yeah.
Woo!
I found two articles to go on if need be.
All right, so, Jeff, you want to grab one of those?
Yeah, I'll grab one that's not on that list because I'm usually at work when I grab all this and throw it on the document, and I've been off for like a week. So, you know, I haven't had lunch at work. This one is about Indiana Jones 5. And it's not a rumor. It's just, and it's not really a spoiler either. Come on. What the hell? There it goes. But... what we're going to find out is, if I can finish that part so Kit doesn't have to post it, is that Indiana Jones 5 will address what happened to Mutt Williams.
Oh.
So James Mangold has said that, and that's all he's saying. We will find out what happened.
He died in a horrible motorcycle accident.
And there's nothing else. That's all he says. So at least we'll get closure for that if anybody was open for it, you know, because
well,
I don't think he's in the movie. So
I am taking that Shia LaBeouf song as canon, where he's out in the forest hunting people down, and he dies. It is an amazing song. If you guys have never heard it, there is a song that's called Shia LaBeouf. And it's done by the LA, like gay men's choir, and there's a kids choir. Rob Cantor is the primary guy who narrates the song because he sort of like talks over it. It's called just Shia LaBeouf, and just look for it on YouTube. It is absolutely hysterical. It is a horror movie in song format, and it's absolutely glorious. And tried to find the actual Rob Cantor video because it's great. It's just really, really great. And it came out in 2012. It's 10 years old. And I am taking this as canon. This is what happened to Mutt, He went nuts. He's living in a forest, hunting people down. They shot it down the street from us, the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, and it's very, very very cool.
I would like to state that there's a movie coming out this week.
There's a sequel. With Shia LaBeouf?
No, it is with Tom Hanks, and it is A Man Called Otto.
This looks weird.
He plays a cranky old man in it, so not sure I'm really that.
Tom Hanks, cranky old man.
Yeah. Sean, what have you got?
Oh, nothing exciting. The, there is a rumor going about that, Diego Luna, is going to be involved with Fantastic Four. John Krasinski, of course, was in Doctor Strange as Reed Richards.
Yeah.
And he said that might be a, just like a cameo. He's not going to repeat that role. Adam Driver, they've talked about, which I think is a terrible choice. Penn Badgley, Tom Ellis. Diego Luna, because everybody really likes him now because of Andor,
is also
being thrown in into the mix. Luna says he's probably too busy to do it.
Yeah.
He says, I was talking about that this morning, like the rumors. When you become part of rumors, half of the rumors were real, you know. It's just incredible the amount of stuff I see out there now. The only thing I can tell you is that for the next 2 years, I'm busy. In 2 years, we'll see what we'll see if what I want to do is even film.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll see. And all of this comes out because we haven't really had a good Fantastic Four movie.
No.
You know, they've nothing's really hit. They've done all sorts of weird changes and mixed stuff up. But they insist that on Valentine's Day 2025, there's a Fantastic Four movie coming.
Well, you never know. I mean, you know, they got time to cast it and make it, you know, so.
Yeah. I'm just going to go on my own personal record here going, I think Diego Luna would be better served doing another character than Reed Richards.
Yeah.
He just doesn't strike me as that kind of guy, the sort of like, you know, scientist. He's, in my head, Reed Richards is very much like, what was his name? Was it Professor? That wasn't Professor X. Who is the professor in Powerpuff Girls?
Oh, Newtonium.
Professor Newtonium. He's totally like that in my head.
Yeah.
I need that kind of guy to be.
Yeah.
To be.
I know Reed that Ahmed Best has been constantly throwing his name in the end of the ring. He was like, "I want to be Reed Richards." I'm like, "Yes, please. That'd be great."
That would be weird.
Yeah.
Huh. Anyway, I haven't been impressed with any of the Fantastic Four movies yet, so maybe the next one will be the one to do it. Maybe now is the time. It's taken them forever to get to it because Fox has owned the rights.
Yeah.
And now that Disney owned Fox and Marvel,
dun, dun,
it all has come together.
So, exactly.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Jeff?
Okay. So mine is also not on the list. I found this one as well, just so we can get a little more out of things. But Avatar, The Way of Water, which I have not seen, is almost to $1 billion worldwide.
Oh, I think it passed it.
Oh, really? Maybe it did, because this was dated 2 days ago. So it was at $955 million. It may have passed it.
Yeah, it made $1 billion in 14 days internationally, not here in the United States. It's internationally.
Yeah,
it's
worldwide. Yeah.
And it crossed it on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Even it's doing well in China. Even though China's like slammed with COVID right now.
Yeah.
And of course, it's like true. Setting all these records for 2022 movies. But I mean, like you, we haven't seen it and we couldn't really make ourselves go on Christmas. We're like, Avatar's the movie to see. Everybody's like, you should go see this. And I liked the first one technologically. It was beautiful. I'm just not excited about it.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't look like fun.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't care. I didn't like the first one. So, anyway.
Well, it hit $1 billion in half the time that Top Gun took, which was 31 days. So it took like 4 weeks for Top Gun, yeah, and it took 2 weeks for Avatar.
Okay. I'm not going to harsh anybody else's buzz by saying anything negative about it. I don't even have.
You're just not excited about it.
Yeah. I'm not into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even movies that I want to see right now, I'm not that excited by, so whatever. I'm just not excited by going to the movies at present. Not sure why.
Mm.
Yeah.
Let's see. I want to say that the pilot episode of 1923 is on YouTube for free until Saturday. I think Kit watched okay. it.
Yeah.
And said that it was very dark, like in color, not...
Dark in tone, not in plot.
Let me... I'm trying to find the note where she said she watched it.
Mm.
Here she goes. She said, slow start, too dark in lighting in some spots, and kind of predictable. But she didn't answer the all-important question, how are the clothes? So maybe I'll have to check it out myself.
Yeah.
But I only have till Saturday, and I haven't watched Glass Onion yet, so probably not.
Well, and it's, you know, it's a sequel to another series.
Yeah.
But it does have Harrison Ford in it, and he does very little television.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
So, Sean, what would you like to talk about?
Well,
there's not a lot there.
No, so
spoiled for choice.
Sort of a year in review of,
hey,
of the movie.
Can I just say that Star X Matthew is impolite?
Yeah, you think?
Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of rude, huh?
Yeah.
Yep, a little bit. Yeah.
Do we know actually who that is?
I don't know. I don't know who Star X Matthew is, but. Actually, Colleen is the one who keeps our butts on track. So
right.
Shut your mouth.
So Colleen has been part of the show for many years. The show's 11 years old, and she's been part of the show since it started coming in and out. And then you've been sitting here for, like, what, 7 years now?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, I slow things down too much for
this person. Sorry. That's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know who that
is
based on that username. But, yeah.
Someone who is just now commenting.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is kind of strange.
We're unlikely to fire you. Sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
Kit says that the clothes are too modernish for 1923, but they work as cowboys.
Oh, okay.
So I'll probably have a big problem with them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this year in movies, I mean, there were some really kind of unusual stuff, some big stuff, like, you know, Top Gun was huge, of course,
as expected. Yeah.
And then, Everything Everywhere All at Once was kind of a surprise. Nope.
I still haven't seen it.
Didn't do very well. Which was, you know, they thought it was going to do a lot better than it did. Movies, nobody's been able to predict really what movies are going to do this year, except, you know, for really obvious things like Avatar. And so we've got a whole bunch of movies lined up for next year that people are just sort of like skipping this year. And, you know, with Guardians of the Galaxy and the Fast and Furious, a bunch of other things that are cropping up. Yeah, Indiana Jones is next year. All of these things, this, like, 2023 is looking better, and 2022 is almost kind of like a wash.
Hmm.
So, gosh, what do we have? Sonic the Hedgehog 2, The Lost City, Smile, Scream, Babylon is out right now, which isn't doing, you know, amazing. Lightyear didn't do well. Strange World didn't do well.
Which I don't get.
Black Adam didn't do well.
Yeah.
All of these movies just really sort of tanked.
Yeah. I watched Strange Worlds, like, actually last night on Disney+.
You said
I
it was good.
It. Yeah, I liked it. I thought it did really. It was pretty good.
But so, it didn't make you go see it in the theater.
I didn't know it was in theater. Did it go? It was in theater briefly.
It was in theaters briefly. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
The Batman, which I guess did pretty well, wasn't really a sequel, even if it wasn't an original movie.
Yeah.
But most of the other stuff was sort of like a sequel. It's like Maverick or Jurassic World Dominion, the Minions movie, Black Panther was a sequel.
Yeah.
Avatar's a sequel. I mean, really, those are the only things that are kind of
in the
well.
Top 10. Everything is a sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so I didn't see Strange World because Rose and David had seen the pre-release of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it was terrible, so I didn't go to see it because I was like,
Oh, for Strange World?
Yeah. And then they must have done some work to it because I saw it on. When I saw it, I liked it. So
Or they just didn't like it.
Or it's a difference of opinion.
Yeah, I don't think they changed it before they put it up on the other. So
I don't know. I'd have to ask Rose if Rose saw it on, has seen it since, see if there's anything different.
Hmm. So that's it for what we have to talk about this week. Jeff, do you have another additional item that you were going to?
Sure. Add? Yeah. We talked about Mary Elizabeth Winstead in Ahsoka, supposedly playing Hera.
Uh-huh.
So there's another actress that is in the film, in the show called, her name is Ivana Sokno, I think. And it's another one where it's like reported of where she's playing, I guess, but a character named Shin.
Shin.
That's it. Shin is a new
That's
character that
know.
Wields the dark side.
Okay. Yeah. Well, okay. Right.
It's, it says she's a new character that wields the dark side of the forest and is in some form of allegiance with the Night Sisters from Dathomir. Hmm. And that's about all we can
get. Is she a Night Sister? Or she's just with the Night Sisters?
She has an allegiance with them.
Oh.
All right.
Yeah.
And are we going to get other characters also named after body parts?
Probably, yeah.
Elbow.
She's a disciple or apprentice of Balon, whoever that is. Some Jedi who survived Order 66. So I guess probably some of the
And where Jedi did that information come from? That seems to be pretty plot heavy for a series.
Making Star Wars. I don't know what Making Star Wars is, but I'll throw the link in. Here you go. Boing, there it's in there. And then it is on the Facebook chat for the video. There you go. There's the where I got it from. And they said it's Making Star Wars. I don't know who that is.
Oh, and it's coming soon, which is like, all right. Well,
yeah,
I don't know. Take all of this with a real grain of salt, because
but it's like it's not a character we know,
right?
Like, oh yeah, I remember Shin on the who is Shin?
Well, Shin is attached to ankle.
Oh, see, that's the thing,
right. Yeah. And just below knee.
Yeah, yeah, Baloney.
Yeah, Dave Baloney.
Okay.
Oh my god. Probably what it was. I wonder how many cameos Stan Lee had in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
He had, like, living or not, because they keep giving him cameos, even though he's passed away.
Yeah, there's.
I heard
the
he
documentary
said
that
something like 12.
Yeah.
Well, this is interesting because it says 22 MCU appearances.
Okay.
Somebody, MovieWeb ranked every Stanley MCU movie cameo.
Well, because like he was in the X-Men, he was in the original Spider-Man series.
Yeah.
I don't think people really started taking much notice until he was in Iron Man, where they made him like a little more prominent.
Yeah, I mean, because he was the voice in a lot of the cartoons too. Yeah, way back when.
Right, right. I don't think they're counting.
Well, this is
those.
Just calling. Yeah. This is just Marvel Cinematic Universe. So
okay. Yeah,
I don't think the cartoons count.
Yeah. I mean, like everything up until he passed away, and I don't know what that number is.
Well, no, it's they still had done a bunch of them. They were all waiting to be aired.
Yeah.
Oh, well, after he died. Okay. So they there's did, some that hasn't come in.
They did 24.
I think they ran out now, but there were several that came out after he died.
Yeah, there's like, what, 25 Marvel movies right now, and he's in 22 of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Although it's interesting because AV Club has Stan Lee's 25 greatest big screen cameos.
Oh.
So, but this one includes Spider-Verse, which is that part of the MCU? I don't think it is.
No. It's a Sony.
And it includes
not officially,
which is not part of the MCU.
Exactly.
The best one, of course, is the Tony Stank one. Are you Tony Stank?
Is that the FedEx delivery man?
Yeah, he's the FedEx
that
guy.
That is the number one, according to MovieWeb.com. Nice. Number one is FedEx delivery man, Captain America Civil War.
Yeah.
I have a package for Tony Stank.
Number two is Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Stan Lee appears as an elderly man trying to enter his car until it suddenly shrinks. And then he says, it's safe to say that, well, the 60s were fun, but now I'm paying for it. Says Stan Lee. And then Thor Ragnarok, he plays an intergalactic barber who cuts Thor's hair.
Yeah.
Right.
That
was kind of fun.
He's riding the bus in Doctor Strange.
Yeah. It's one where he was like in a library or something and they flew across behind his head or something. I can't remember which one that was.
Which one? What were you saying, Jeff?
He was like in a library or something and they were going around behind him or something. And behind him while he was reading a book or something. I don't know.
Oh, maybe. Well, he was also on the bus for one of them, and
was a bus driver in Avengers: Infinity War.
There was one where he was reading. It was a flashback. Oh, maybe it was.
He was on a subway in Captain Marvel reading his lines.
It was
in
Captain
script.
Marvel. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. He was reading the Mall Rats
in the Mall Rats
script.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the one that I was thinking.
Oh, okay. From Amazing Spider-Man. Okay.
I think this
That's
was one
was.
Of the first ones he was in after he died. Because it said that being after his passing makes it all the more special. It was like, the first MCU film released following his death.
Okay. So, Laura, is that the Spider-Man Homecoming, or is that like the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movie? She'll probably answer later.
I still haven't seen those.
Not exciting. Hey, look, I'm giant. Again. Yeah, I keep getting big.
I don't see any library. What? I see a mental ward patient.
Oh, shoot. There's a thing where SWIT, where our video control uses the keypad apparently to switch between cameras. And I forget this, and I try to tap in a number, and then it switches cameras around. Which is
okay,
really
yeah. It was the Andrew Garfield one. Okay, yeah. Where is the library scene?
Oh, okay.
Okay. I guess coming, when is it? It doesn't say, it just says sometime in 2023, there will be a Stan Lee documentary on Disney Plus.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. There's no official,
Stanley.
Like, date marked down yet.
I had to tell Stan Lee that he couldn't play ping pong.
Because you're a meanie.
Or that I wouldn't play ping pong with him because he had to be on set.
Such a meanie.
I am mean. Harsh. So, what's everybody doing for New Year's?
Probably hanging out at home.
We're going to go to a New Year's Eve party and a couple of brunches. if we follow our plan and don't hide out in the house. Any New Year's resolutions this year?
Since they don't come true, let's see.
You mean you don't follow through? What do you mean they don't come true?
I don't know. I don't really have a resolution. My resolution is just to get more of the projects that I have in the middle of, get them done instead of being in the middle.
Oh, well.
So I got loads of projects that are somewhere in the middle.
I think we all have that.
Yeah.
My resolution, I'm going to try to get a little bit more exercise in, like everybody usually does. And so I decided that I'm going to do at least 10 minutes of yoga, 10 minutes of walking, and 10 minutes of house cleaning. And then I can do extra if I am so inclined, but that'll at least get me off the couch. Because if you only have to do 10 minutes, that's pretty easy.
It's not awful, I guess.
Don says he's going to lose weight. I'm not sure where Don's going to lose weight from, because he always
looks Don. Very fit to me. Don does not look overweight.
Talon Thorne says, my resolution is the same. Don't make any resolutions.
Well, if you don't make a resolution, you can't break a resolution. So, you know, you got that going for you. I've got to work on my car more. I don't know that that's a resolution. I just have to do it.
It's a resolution.
There's a thing going around Facebook that's like, you know, what did you accomplish this year and what are you proud of? And, like, I don't have anything.
Oh.
And it's,
what did you accomplish this year?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, what are you proud of? Show me. And I'm like, well, I mean, I worked on my car all year, but I'm not really proud of it.
I made apple cider candies and wrapped them just before the show. You put together both the Halloween and the Christmas exhibit for the front of our house.
Yeah, I'm not really proud of those either. I mean, I didn't do anything really incredible with it. It's just like it was more of the same of last year. And they were nice. I can't think of anything that I accomplished this year that I'm like, yeah, I feel really good about that. Or, you know, yeah, that's really impressive or something. There's just, I don't know. This year was just status quo. You know, I got turned down for a lot of jobs. Yay. That's exciting. I didn't do as much charity stuff as I wanted to do. There's like, I don't know. I don't feel very accomplished with this past year. I'm not looking back on it going, that was pretty good.
Well, maybe you should. Rose says Life Day.
Yeah, I mean, Life Day was good too, but I didn't feel like Life Day, we didn't make any inroads. It was also status quo. We did the same thing we did last time.
Maybe that should be your resolution, to make things non-status quo.
Maybe.
This coming year.
I don't know. It was just like, bleh. So we'll see. I got a lot of stuff I want to do to the car, but I got to figure it out. Like, there are technological issues to overcome and that kind of thing. And
Talon Thorne said this is a recovery year, which I agree. This has very much been a trying to pull out of the COVID lockdown year.
Yeah, that's true.
Which, honestly, it's hard to remember much of the last couple of years. You just sort of all blur into one.
Wow. Let's see. I got the car finished with help of the family and put it at the, you know, displayed it at the convention, and then got to drive the little sucker in the Hollywood parade, and boy.
Yeah, I will say that I'm glad that we got into the Hollywood parade and we got some reasonable screen time.
Yeah.
Gosh, I wonder what I did with that.
Don said he wanted to vinyl wrap his car, but I saw it out of the corner of my eye, and I thought it said, I want to vinyl wrap my cat. And I'm like, oh, no, not the cat.
I'm helping him design his wrap for his car.
Nice.
Just kind of getting some ideas going on. I've had so many people send me notes going, "Oh my God, we just bought a new car and now we have to make a Star Wars car and you have to hook me up with wrap things and things like that." And the wrap guys that I would have used are closed. They closed their store. And, it's just, yeah, kind of, we're going to have a whole bunch of vinyl wrapped Road Squadron cars, I guess, because everybody's really into doing that right now. I wish people would paint more of them. But the wrap is easy.
Yeah.
Even if it's not cheap, it's like a $2,000 prospect, but, we'll have to see.
I can't imagine. I mean, I want to see what these people that are getting wraps on their cars, what it looks like when they peel that stuff off, because when when they put the wraps on the monorails and they're all, let's take the wraps off, and then they notice it just basically damaged all the paint underneath.
In most cases with the car, it does not damage the car.
Okay.
So, you know, that's a thing. I was trying to find the video of us in the parade. I was going to run it.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
But yeah. I have to really get to it. My computer is running like really slow. I think the only way to get at this is on Facebook. Do you remember, Jeff, when we were at Toys R Us in Macy's?
Yes.
There was this cool laser tag thing.
Oh, yeah,
that
yeah.
They had. They went
like a couple different ones, yeah.
I went back and Colleen let me pick it up. So I do have.
But then I made him put it back.
Right.
No.
No, we went back yesterday, and everything's on sale. So instead of being $110, it's like $30, $35.
Okay, gotcha.
Which is a lot better. So,
yes. Yes. And assistance to more than 200 charity organizations.
Ugh. Oh, you found the video.
I found the video, and it's, of course, being very loud, and autoplay is not my friend.
Gotcha.
Very tedious. Anyway, I was gonna point out that we did go back. I did pick that up.
Oh,
this
good.
Like sort of big old gun and the sensors, a little tiny thing, and
yeah,
it's kind of fun. So we'll have to try these things out, see how they work.
Cool.
Ouch. Should be kind of fun.
There we go.
All right, let's see. I'm gonna run this Road Squadron video. We did get some pretty good time, for the Hollywood Christmas Parade. It was not bad. And I guess I'll do it with sound.
Now yeah, we're ready. I got it twice.
For it. I think it starts with Jeff. Yeah. Here we go.
And keeping the Star Wars theme going, here comes a collection of vehicles that's known as the Road Squadron. Featuring creations inspired by multiple science fiction film franchises.
And they use their vehicles to bring awareness and assistance to more than 200 charity organizations. That's really cool.
It is. And keeping the Star Wars
even
theme.
Eric Estrada thinks we're really cool. And what more could you want in life? Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Anyway, it was a lot more coverage than I thought we were going to get.
That's the most coverage you've ever had in that parade.
Yeah, that was nuts.
Usually they cut away.
For the Hollywood Christmas Parade, it was amazing. Yeah, it was really amazing.
And like I saw that the Rebel Legion 501st, Mandos and all them got a lot more coverage this year too.
They did too. Yeah, it was really nice. I had heard somewhere from the float captain who was sort of corralling us, who was, boy, she was real interesting. What was her name? Denise? She was really super prickly. she was telling me that they had fewer floats and entries than they thought. We were novelty entry number 7, I think.
Oh, wow.
Even though we were kind of towards the end of the parade.
Yeah.
But it was great. And so that's like the TV part of it. Once you pass the Chinese theater and you pass the red carpet. Then you do the parade route where everybody is there. And it was a good crowd this year. Everybody was really having a good time. It was a lot of fun, I thought. And so I'm pleased at least that, everybody who put their car in the parade got a little love. That was nice. So it was a pretty good collection of cars. They just had us do five this year.
Yeah.
And it was good. And the, I think the Star Cars got some pretty good stuff. I had to go online to find the parade. I recorded it on TiVo, but TiVo won't let me copy stuff to my hard drive anymore. our TiVo's like 12 years old, and they're mad. TiVo's mad. They're like, you haven't updated. We've gone through like four different versions, and you haven't bought any of them. And so they're sending me very grumpy emails all the time. You should upgrade. All your features are going to stop working. You can't get 4K.
No.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
I mean, we just used TiVo to record a couple of broadcast shows and Masterpiece Theater.
Right.
So
we never go more than like 30% of storage really on TiVo, and it's just it just records the broadcast stuff. So we have an antenna hooked up to it, and it gets whatever we can pull in from the antenna, which is mostly like ABC shows, like we watch The Rookie and stuff like that, 911. And so we record those and then go back and watch them later. We sort of binge three or four episodes at a time. The Goldbergs, we record that. And that's it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we don't watch sports. Colleen records stuff from PBS, the aforementioned Masterpiece Theater. So, it's kind of interesting. So I'm not going to pay you money to redo this.
So it's probably time to wrap the show up.
Yeah, I think we're pretty close.
Yeah, we're close. Got like four more minutes.
As I mentioned earlier, we've been doing this show. We're on our 11th season right now.
Yep.
If you look at the number, we're like show 26, I think, which is about halfway through the year, a little bit more. We number our episodes per week, and we started the first week of July. And so having done this for so long that, you know, you guys want to check it out and be part of it and hang out with us, we're always really grateful that you do that. We have a new year coming up. I hope it is better than the last year, as always. And so, you know, resolutions or not, you don't have to make resolutions, but having goals in mind is pretty good. You know, I think that, I think we have to make it a better year. I think we gotta, maybe if we have a resolution, it's that we work towards having a better year than we had last time, whatever it is. So, you know, if we're part of that, that will be awesome.
Yeah.
Beyond that, thanks for hanging out. Again, you can find the show on YouTube. Just it's YouTube/DB94, I think, is what we're at. You can also hear me wrap up the week tomorrow on Good Morning Tatooine at sci-fi.radio. It's the radio station that we broadcast over the air on the internet with live. And so I'll be there at 9 a.m. tomorrow. We're not taking next week off, right? It's just a regular show on the 5th.
I think it's just a regular show.
So I guess we will see all of you guys then. Anybody got anything else?
Nope. Just I'm Colleen Kaylee Crosby.
This is Jeff Solodano.
I am Sean Obi-Sean Crosby. As always,
may the force
be with you.
Happy New Year's, everybody.
Woo!
I have confetti.
you need some noise makers,
physical confetti.
Things.
Oh no, digital confetti
on our credit screen. Our theme is done by Cosmo Moose, Chris Medway. You can look him up on Bandcamp.